Hello and welcome to this audio walkthrough for installing GRML. A bit about GRML. GRML, according to their frequently asked questions, should be pronounced as Greml. So you may hear me refer to GRML as Greml within this audio walkthrough. GRML is a Linux distribution based on Debian. It is primarily designed as a live CD which is to be used for a text interface. Although, as you'll find out, you can install this to hard disk, which is what I'm going to show you in this audio walkthrough, and then you can install graphical environments such as GNOME onto it, and I'll be showing you how to install GNOME onto GRML in a future audio walkthrough. GRML can be installed using Software Speech Output. So this means you can do a fully independent install without any sighted assistance or any extra hardware such as a hardware speech synthesizer or Braille display. So to get started, you'll need to get the GRML CD. For this, I'll be using GRML 2008.11, and this can be found at the GRML website, www.grml.org. There in the download section, you'll find that they have more than just one CD image listed. You want the full GRML distribution, the one that they refer to as GRML. You must note that the GRML medium and the GRML small versions don't include the software required for Software Speech Output, so that is why you need the full version. The image I downloaded was about 690 megabytes in size. So once you've got the CD image from the internet and you've written it to CD, you need to then put the CD into your computer and reboot, so that it will then boot from the CD drive. To get it to boot from the CD drive, you may need to alter some settings in the BIOS. I cannot tell you how to do this because all BIOSes do differ on different computers, so unfortunately for this you may need some sighted assistance. Although some computers are set to boot from CD by default first, so you may not need to actually alter anything. Okay, assuming now that you've got it, that you can actually boot from the CD, I'll now start my computer to show you what to do to actually perform the install. Now there's a couple of bits that are slightly different with my computer, that I've set it up to have a password in BIOS, so you'll hear me just typing that in a minute before actually start the boot process. Also, it has a few speech output messages for the actual internal system. BIOS messages, things like if it's done a self-check and if it's starting to boot the operating system. You probably won't have this feature, and so just ignore those if you hear them. So I'm now at my BIOS password screen. And you'll hear one of these BIOS boot messages being spoken. As I said, you probably won't hear it. You'll just have to listen for your CD drive to when it starts spinning.
System completed. Power on self-check.
Okay, I'm now at the boot screen. And if you've got a bit of sight, you'll be able to see the screen has gone light. So to boot, we'll need to type in GRML space SWSPEAK. And in addition to this, because I'm using a Braille display for this, I'm going to add the extra option to enable my Braille display. So I'm putting in another space and then BRLTTY equals AL. You can find a whole list of these boot options on the CD in the GRML directory or at the GRML website. under the cheat codes. And there are quite a few, and you may want to look through them, because there's various ones to enable bits of hardware or to stop it auto searching for certain features, like so it won't search for software RAID or LVM, or so it won't use ACPI. There's just lots of boot options, and you may want to just check what the various ones are. So let's continue. So I'll press enter to accept my boot parameters. And because I was talking so much while that was done, the CD had stopped spinning and it started spinning again, and it will start booting. This boot process could take some time, as it's booting from CD. And throughout this boot process, you'll hear a few messages. There'll be one which is spoken, and this is from the actual CD, so all of you should hear it if your sound card is working. It will say that it's enabled speak up with software speech output and telling you what to do once booting has finished. And then you'll get a message at the very end telling you that booting has finished. Although I tend to find that this message at the end is a bit before it really has finished booting, so you may just want to wait a bit, about 5-10 seconds after that final message. So hopefully the first message will soon be spoken. We'll just wait for that. Okay, so that told us to type in SWSpeak when it's finished booting. Now that was a bit quiet, but the voice that it uses for the speech output is different.
Finished booting.
And there was the final one. I'll tell you now when it's finished booting, as I've got my braille display. And now the boot, the actual prompt is there. So you can see there is a bit of a delay. As I said, was trying to say before it interrupted me, the actual voice it's going to use for the screen reader is eSpeak, and it's a lot better than those two boot messages were. So we'll now type in SWSpeak and then press enter. Okay, and then you heard it just then say GRML, which is the prompt that we're at. So a little bit about this screen reader, because we're using a text console. The screen reader itself is SpeakUp, and this one, I found that unlike Orca, does tend to be set to have a faster speech rate by default. So that might be something you might want to alter first of all. Now SpeakUp has two modifier keys, just like Orca, either the caps lock or the number pad 0. Unlike Orca, both of these keys are active at the same time, and they just perform the same action. So I'm going to always be referring to the number pad 0, although you can always use caps lock if you want to replace it. So to slow down SpeakUp, we'd use the number pad 0 and then the 5 on the number row at the top of the main block of the keyboard.
Rate 4, rate 3, rate 2.
And then if we wanted to speed it up, we use the number pad 0 and the 6.
Rate 3.
I'll leave it at rate 3. Now to review the screen, we use the number pad. This is fairly similar to Orca in a way. The top row of the numbers, the 7, the 8 and the 9, navigates its review by lines. So 7 takes us back a line and reads it.
Setting mixer levels to 90, okay.
8 will read the line that the review is actually currently on.
Setting mixer levels to 90, okay.
And the 9 will take us down a line and read that.
GRML.
Now the next line down on the number pad is the 4, the 5 and the 6. This is similar, except it does it by navigating by word, the review. So 4 takes us back a word and reads it, 5 reads the word we're on, and 6 reads the next word. If it gets to the end of a line, it will inform you and actually then wrap around onto the next line. So I'll just show you by going back by words.
Left, GRML number.
You heard it say left. That's because we're at the left of the screen. If I press it again and go up a line.
Right bracket. Okay. Left bracket 90. 2 levels.
And you can see we've moved up to the line about setting the mixer level. And then the bottom line, the 1 and the 2 and the 3. These keys navigate by characters in a similar fashion. So 1 takes us back a character, 2 reads character 1, and 3 takes us forward a character. Unlike the navigation by word, the character navigation will not wrap around lines. So if I keep taking this left, it will say left, but it will not go round up to the line before. And then there's one other key which may be of use, which I find actually very useful throughout using SpeakUp, is the number pad enter. What this does is it silences speech until you do another key press. Also, it actually returns the screen review to the current actual cursor position. So if I press that now, and then I press the 8 to read the line we're on,
GRML.
You can find we're back at the GRML prompt. Okay, so the first task is to partition the drive. The partitioning of your drive may depend on various things. If you've got Windows already installed and you're wanting to install GRML next to that, you'll need to resize your Windows partition. Unfortunately, I don't have Windows on this particular machine, so I am not able to show you how to resize your Windows partition. The only time I've resized the Windows partition, I was using software within Windows itself. I was using Partition Magic. And if you're comfortable with using Windows applications, you may prefer to look at finding a Windows application to do the resizing. Although if you don't want to get some software for Windows, I'm sure if you look around on the internet you'll find instructions about resizing a Windows partition. So long as it's all within the text console, GRML is likely to have the stuff, and SpeakUp is very likely to be able to read all the output of those programs. As I said, I've not got a Windows partition, so I've just got a blank hard disk at the moment in the computer, and I'll just be creating one partition for GRML. You may want to alter your scheme if you prefer, but I cannot show all of the possible ways it can be done because there are so many different ways. Now, the one difference I've noticed with GRML is that it refers to IDE and SCSI drives both with the same convention. So in GRML, my IDE disks actually appear as /dev/sda and /dev/sdb. This contrasts to some other distributions which do distinguish between IDE and SCSI hard disks, such as Slackware, where I've had to refer to my ID hard disks as /dev/HDA and /dev/HDB. Okay, so I'm going to partition the first hard disk. So the tool I'll use is parted, P-A-R-T-E-D. So I'll type in parted and then a space /dev/SDA. So I'll be partitioning the first disk.
P-A-R-T-E-D/DD/SDA. GNU parted 1.8.8 using /dev/SDA. Welcome to GNU parted. Type help to view a list of commands parted.
Okay, I know about how to use parted, but if you want to review the actual commands you can use within parted, as you just heard it say, you can type in the command help. Okay, the first task I'm going to do is set the units to gigabytes, as I've never got used to the cylinders and all of those measurements of disks. So,
U-N-I-D.
Type in unit, and I'll press enter.
Unit, compact.
And then you heard it say unit, and it's saying that the default one is compact. So I'm going to change it to gigabytes by typing capital G and capital B.
G, B.
And then I'll press enter.
Parted.
Okay, now we'll just review what's actually on the disk.
P-R-R-N-T.
By typing in the print command.
Model, ADA master 2F040L0/size disk/dev/SDA, 41.1 GB, sector size logical/digital, 512B/512B, partition table, MS-NOS, number start end size type file system flags parted.
Okay, so there you could hear I've got a 41 GB hard disk and there doesn't seem to be any partitions defined, which is what I expected to find. So, if I want to create a partition, I use the mkpart command.
Mkpart.
And I press enter.
Partition type, primary/extended.
Okay, so I'm going to make this a primary partition. And this is generally what you want, unless you want more than four partitions on your disk.
P-R-I-M-A-R-Y. File system type, X2.
Okay, it's now asking for the file system type. The default is X2, but you may want to use a different one. The different ones do have different advantages. In some ways, it's possibly a task for you just to read up on the various ones, make your own decision what you feel is suitable. I've used JFS before, and that's the one I will be using in this install. So,
JFS.
I enter JFS and press enter.
Start.
It's asking for the start. So, as I want it to be one partition on the disk, filling it, I'm going to start it right at the beginning, zero.
Zero. End.
It's now asking for the end. May as well use the whole disk. Assigned to 41.1.
Parted.
Okay, now I can just review what I've actually got by typing in print again.
P-R-R-N-T model, ADA master 2F0.
Going to press the number pad enter just to stop it talking. But if I review the screen by using the lines, the 7 to go back lines.
Land 10.00 GB, 41.1 GB, 41.1 GB, primary JFS.
Okay, so you can hear that there is a partition now. Now I want to make that partition bootable, so I'll use a toggle command. As you could hear, there wasn't any flags actually defined for that.
T-O-G-G-L-E.
And then
partition number.
Okay, it's asking for the partition number, so I'll enter 1, as that's the only partition on it.
/div/rain/lvm/lva/follow/rem.
Okay, it's given me a list of the boot flags I can change. So I'll change the boot one. So I enter boot.
B-O-O-T.
And I press enter.
Parted.
And it's back at the prompt. So if I now just do a print, just to confirm everything.
P-R-R-F-T.
Just to check.
model, ATX, LAMP 10.00 GB 41.1 GB 41.1 GB private KFS move.
Okay, so that all seems correct for what I want for my partitioning. So I'll exit parted now by typing in quit.
QUIT information, you may need to update /etc/f/grml.
Okay, so it was saying we may need to update /etc/fstab, but we won't actually need to do that for this install because it will create one during the installation process for us. Okay, so now to actually do the install, I'm going to use the grml to hd script. So I enter
grml
and then the number 2
HD.
All as one word. And then press enter.
Welcome to GRML 2 HD 1.1.
And press the number pad enter just to stop it talking as I can explain the screen quicker than it can. This screen basically just tells us a bit about GRML, gives us a bit of information about the installer, where we can find more information. So we want to continue, and that's the default button that's selected, so we just press enter.
Partitions, SDA 140 million.
Okay, now it's asking about what partition we want to install on. Now there's a list of them, and there's a highlight, so we can move to select the right one. Unfortunately, by default, SpeakUp won't actually read this highlight correctly. So we need to change it to highlight tracking. So we use the number pad star to alter it.
Highlight tracking.
You just heard it there say highlight tracking. Now if I use the up and down cursor keys, it should read the correct option on the screen.
SDB 1,199,358,401.
Now I don't want to install on SDB 1 because that's my second hard disk, which has got a load of data on, and I don't want to get rid of all that data. So I'll go back up to select SDA 1.
SDA 140,146,403.
Now I've selected that one, I can just press enter.
GRML 2 HD, where do you want to install the boot manager?
Okay, now it's asking where we want to install the boot manager. Now this screen, there's a list of options, and it's like in Windows or GNOME where you have radio buttons that you need to actually select it and then actually press space to activate the correct option. Now the default one is partition install boot manager into partition /dev/sda1 for me. And that is where I want to install it, but I can use the cursor keys just to look around what the other options are. Now I was pressing the upper cursor. If I press up again, because it's the top one, you'll actually hear SpeakUp. It actually speaks the buttons at the bottom for some reason.
Okay, cancel.
Don't quite know why it speaks them. The highlight is still actually on about installing to the MBR. So, as I want to install to the partition, I'll move down with the down cursor.
Partition install boot manager install partition /dev.
Now, although it's selected, I can press space on it again and it doesn't actually do anything. But if I wasn't sure which was the actual default one, pressing space would ensure that I've actually selected the correct one. So now I just press enter to accept that.
GRML 2 HD, which file system do you want to...
Now it's asking about file system. Now, there's one file system within this lot that it actually does give a warning about when that you may want to be aware of. That it says XFS, that you, and then it says notice problems with Lilo. So if you're unsure, you may want to stay clear of XFS, but if you know what you're doing, you may be able to install to XFS without a problem. Anyway, I wanted to use JFS, so I'll just use the cursor keys to go down to find JFS.
XFS journaling file, JFS journal file system by IBM, trace.
And you heard me press the space key to select it. Again, this screen is actually radio buttons like the previous one. Okay, to accept that, I'm going to press enter.
GRML2HD, all your data on /net/SDA1 will be destroyed. It will be formatted using the JFS file system. Are you sure you want to continue? Yes, no.
Okay, it's warning me that the disk will be formatted and any data is going to be lost. Well, as it's a new partition and I don't have any data on there, I'm quite sure, so I'll just press the Y key, which will activate the Yes button. You must note that the default button on this one is No, so if you press Enter, you'll actually be pressing the No button. So if you press Y, you'll continue.
GRML2HD creating JFS file system on /net/SDA1. GRML2HD copying files to /net/SDA1 0%.
Okay, I'll press the number pad enter just to keep it quiet. At this point, it's now copying the files onto my hard disk. This bit is quite lengthy. Potentially, when you're doing it yourself, you may want to go away, get something to eat, get something to drink, and just sort of go away, wait for it. You also probably want to make use of that number pad enter key. Keep it quiet, because there is a percentage bar on there, and there's a percentage which will be altering, and every time that percentage alters, speak up will speak at the changes. So, just sort of probably the best thing is to silence the speech and then just check every now and then just to see where it's actually got to. Okay, I'm back now. I did actually stop the recording there because it was taking quite some time and I felt you probably did not want to just sit through listening to silence while I was doing that. So now that the install has actually finished, the copying, the actual installation hasn't finished, we've got a message come up that's saying that copying was successful, and we can read this with the screen view keys.
Okay. Copying files was successful. Okay.
And there's an OK button, that's the only one there, so we press Enter.
GRML2HD boot parameters. Do you want to use any special boot parameters?
Okay, it's now asking if we want to use any special boot parameters. Now this screen, it's got a list of the various boot options, and it should have detected any of the special ones that you used when you actually booted the system. So for me, it's actually detected the SWSpeak and the BRLTTY options. So I could actually just press enter and it will keep the options I actually gave it. You can yourself, if you want to add extra ones, go through the list. This list is similar to Windows checkboxes, or the checkboxes in GNOME, that you press space on them to toggle each one, that it's not just one, can be selected at a time. So you probably want to use the screen review keys of Speak Up to find out which one's actually selected. I'll just quickly demonstrate that by going up a few lines. So there's the SWSpeak one, and to check if it's selected, if I go to the beginning of the line,
left bracket star right bracket.
You can hear it said left bracket star right bracket. That means it's selected if it's got the star between the brackets. Whereas if I go up a line,
speak up, since you speak up kernel module with given hardware type.
That one should not be selected because the SWSpeak option overrides it, and it wouldn't be sensible to have both defined. So if I actually press a 5, because SpeakUp actually maintains its column position when you navigate by lines, you can hear it said left bracket. If I navigate by characters, so pressing the 3,
right bracket.
There's the right bracket. So that one isn't selected. As the ones I actually want are all selected, I'm just going to press enter now. Okay, now we're at a screen that's asking about a host name. So here you can either do one of a few things. It's got one already proposed in the actual edit box, and that's where the cursor is. Now to read that, you probably want to use the cursor navigation, as it's right up against a character used for the border of the actual window that's on the screen, and SpeakUp won't read it for some reason when there's those characters there. So if I use there, you can hear it said null at the beginning of that. That's the character that gets in the way. It's for the border. So if I now use the 3 to go forward, it's proposed GRML egg. Well, that's not a wonderful name for naming a computer, as that's what the host name is. It's a computer's name. So if I've not got much imagination, I can press the tab key twice to get to the proposed host name button.
Okay, proposed host name.
Now, you'll notice that when you press the tab the first time, it doesn't say anything, and then when you press it the second time, it actually says okay and then propose host name. It's because for some reason in this particular tracking mode of SpeakUp, it speaks the button it's moving from and the button it's moving to. So it's the second one when you get to spoken. Anyway, it is certainly two tabs from that edit box where you enter in the host name. So if I press enter for the proposed host name, anyway. Oh, actually, I've just found that if you press the 8 to read the line, it actually ignores those null characters. So we're back in the actual edit box, and as I found out, if you press 8,
Walking Bird,
that's the proposed host name. Again, not wonderful. Anyway, my computer in the past has been named Layla, so I'm going to just backspace over what it put in there. Now I've backspaced it and it's empty. I'll type in my own host name for it.
L-A-Y-L-A.
And then press enter just to accept it.
GRML host name. Okay, setting host name to Layla was successful. Dot configuration.
Okay, it's now saying that it was successful at setting the host name. And there's an OK button, that's got focus. We press enter again.
GRML set keyboard. Which keyboard layout do you want to use?
Okay, it's asking for keyboard layout. It's a list of radio buttons again. So we go down until we find the right one. Okay, I've gone down to the UK British option, and because it's radio buttons, I need to press space to activate it. And then I press enter.
Okay, writing keyboard settings UK to /etc/ syscfig / keyboard was successful.
Okay, it's saying that it's successful and there's an OK button, so we press enter on that.
GRML set language, language group.
And now it's asking for the language. Again, we navigate down, it's radio buttons, and we press space on the one we want. I'm going to set UK British as I'm in the UK.
B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B
Okay, I'm going to select the UK British Unicode version. There's also a UK ISO version. So press space on it to select one I want, and then I press enter.
Okay, writing language settings NGB colon enter slash etc slash default slash okay was successful.
Okay, it's just confirming that it was successful and there's an OK button, so we press enter again.
GRML2HD, you do not have the configuration file slash etc.
It's asking if we want to create a xorg configuration file. We won't do that now because we'll do that when we install GNOME in a future audio walkthrough, as we don't actually need it until we're installing GNOME. So I'll press N, and just as a note, the No button is actually the default one, which is the one we want, so we could actually just press enter.
Shadow password for now on GRML2HD, please enter the password for them.
Okay, it's asking for our root password. Now, when you type in here, stars come up, so the speech won't actually announce what the password is. So I'll just type in what I want for my password. And I'll press enter, now I've typed it.
GRML2HD, please enter the password for the root account again for confirmation. Okay, cancel.
Okay, it's asking for confirmation, so type it precisely as you typed it before. So this means make sure where you had capitals, you keep capitals. And press enter to confirm it.
GRML2HD, please enter username .ggrml.
Okay, now you need a username. By default, it's put in GRML into the edit box. Now I don't want that, so I'm going to backspace it and then type in my own username, which is going to be Mike. And then I press enter to accept it.
GRML2HD, your real name.
Okay, now it's asking for real name. So I'll put in my name, Michael Wapples.
M-I-T-F-E-F-E-F-E-F-E-F.
And I press enter.
GRML2HD, please enter the password.
Okay, now it's asking for a password for the user account. So like the root password, I've entered a password and then I press enter.
GRML2HD, please enter the password for user Mike again for...
And again, like the root password, it's asking for confirmation of the user password. So I enter it and press enter.
GRML2HD, running unfixed.
Okay, and now it's got a
finished running fixes.
Confirmation that it said it's finished running fixes, and there's an OK button. So we press enter on that.
GRML autoconfig, GRML autoconfig.
Now it's talking about the autoconfig. Now in there it does say, if you don't know what to do, just accept it. And for the ease of it, I'm going to just accept the default one. If you do want to modify it, it is actually a checkbox list. So you probably want to go through a review with the keys, which ones are actually ticked with stars and which ones aren't. But as I'm not going to, I'm just going to press enter. By the way, this is fairly reasonable, it says, by default, and you can modify it once you've installed, if you want to.
GRML autoconfig, okay, adjusting values.
So it's just saying that it's successfully done the autoconfig, and we press enter to OK that.
GRML set services, which service?
Now it's asking about services. Again, like autoconfig, we don't actually need to do anything at this particular point. As we can set the services at a later date, and the default is probably reasonable. Well, there may be some we want to enable. And I will actually set us some just to show you a certain some of the actual problems you may encounter with the screen, that these null characters for the borders are present, so you may need to use the navigation by cursor keys to read whether something has actually got a star in the brackets.
LVM logical volume management.
No, I don't have LVM on this machine, so I don't tick that.
Logical LVM. Left bracket star, right bracket.
See, it's already selected, but if I press space, it's always at the top of the list. That's nice.
Space, space, left. Okay. LVM logical, LVM, right bracket. Left bracket, right bracket.
You can hear that. No, unselected.
Enderton software rate by RM Adam.
And we don't want software evade, as we've got no software evade on this. And dbus, well, we can have that running.
How hardware abstraction layer dbus important for?
We'll have HAL running, because that is used for automatic detection of things like CDs and GNOME.
NFS network file system client setup.
We don't want NFS.
OK cancel.
And you heard it say OK cancel because it's at the bottom of the list. So we'll just press enter now to accept.
GRML set services OK. Adjust existing run level configuration via /etc/runlevel.conf was successful.
OK, it's saying that it was successful. And there's an OK button. So we just press enter.
Remove packages server select.
Okay, now it's saying that there's some packages that were included which are commonly used just for servers, and we may want to remove some of these. Now the defaults are reasonable, and again you can install or remove packages after the install, so you probably just want to press enter just to accept it.
Reading package list 0%.
Okay. I pressed the number pad enter, but we've come up with a question, so...
Do you want to continue Y/N?
It would have been useful if the question actually was all on one line, rather than just, do you want to continue?
After this, on zero, PDF link, file path...
But basically, it's asking about, do you want to remove these packages? If you do actually go back through the screen. So, we'll press Y to say yes,
Y.
And enter to accept it. Now we probably want to press numpad enter, as it's going to put a lot of stuff to the screen while it removes these packages. And this could take some time depending on your system. So we'll just wait for that to do. Doesn't take as long as the copying of files did. Again, you may just want to keep checking with your screen view keys to see where we've got to. But do make sure you don't just let speak up, keep chattering away, because there's a lot put to the screen and it does slow things up if speak up's got to read it all. So it's still doing on my system. It's not quite finished yet. Then when it does finish this particular bit, it then automatically goes on to the next step of creating an initRD. Which may take a little bit of time. You just have to keep waiting until we get to the next OK screen. Okay, so it's now done that. And we're at a screen where it's asking about which bootloader we want to use. Now I'm familiar with Lilo, and that's the one that's selected by default. This particular screen, it's a list of radio buttons, so I can just press the down cursor to
/m/sva1.
So the bottom one of the bottom one of the list is grub, and there's Lilo. So we'll install Lilo. Press space on Lilo and press enter.
DRML2HD installing boot manager 0% 42 DRML2HD. Okay, Lilo exited successfully.
Okay, so it's saying that Lilo exited successfully, which means that's worked fine. So we press enter now.
100% DRML2HD. Okay, congratulations.
Okay, now we've got a message just saying that installation is complete and that we need to reboot. So we press enter to OK this message. And this will actually return us back to a text prompt. It doesn't automatically reboot the system, which is actually good because there's something that you may want to do before you actually do reboot the machine. Because if you were to reboot now, you'd actually find that speech output would not start fully automatically. You'd have to do a login before you could actually start speech output. But we can actually, at this point, modify the installed system to enable the speech output to automatically start. So the first thing is to create a directory to mount the partition into. So we'll do mkdir.
Mkdir.
And then space.
Space.
And then, well, you can almost call it anything, but it's got to be something that isn't already defined on the system. So let's just create a directory name, Mike. So slash Mike.
M-I-K-E-G-R-M-L.
Okay, and it's put us back at a prompt. Now we can mount that, the actual partition where we've installed to. So we enter the command mount.
M-O-U-N-T.
And then space.
Space.
Then the actual directory to the hard disk partition, which in my case is /dev/sda1.
/dev/sda1.
And then a space.
Space.
And then the directory we want to put the actual mount the drive to. So that was to the directory Mike.
/mikd.
And we press enter.
DRML.
Okay, now what we need to do is edit the startup script. Now I'm going to add this into the RC local file of the installed system. So the editor I'll use is Nano. So
N-A-O.
Hang on, I made type that wrong. So
N-A-N-O. Space.
So I've typed in Nano and then space. Slash Mike.
Slash.
And then it's ETC.
ETC.
And then slash.
Slash.
RC.local.
RC.local.
And then I press enter. Okay. Now I quite like Nano because it doesn't have different modes like VI and Vim does. So although if you are familiar with VI or Vim or Emacs, then feel free to use those. But anyway, we need to cursor down till we find the line where it says exit 0.
RC, this script makes a value in order to this by default blank exit 0.
Okay, we're on the line that says exit 0, so we press Control K to delete that line.
Modified.
And then we enter in /USR/BIN/eSpeakUp.
/USR/BIN/eSpeakUp.
And then we press Control X for exit.
Save Mobile Night Buffer.
So asking us if we want to save. And we enter Y to this for save changes.
File name to write, /mic/etc/rc.localg.help.
So it's asking us where we want to save it, and by default it's the file that we opened, which is /mic/etc/rc.local. So we press enter.
Road 14 lines, GRML.
So now we can actually do the reboot. So we can enter in reboot as a command.
R-E-B-O-O-T.
And we press enter.
It is switching to.
Now, at some point, the CD drive should be ejected. And when it is, you need to take your CD out. And then close the CD drawer and press enter. Unfortunately, when it is at this point, you'll have lost all the speech output as it's closed down some of the services. So we're just waiting for my computer to shut down. I think it is actually okay, now we will, now that the computer is rebooting, I'm now back at my BIOS password, so into that, and then we'll start actually booting the system. You'll hear two more speech messages from the actual BIOS of my computer. As I said, you probably won't hear these, so just ignore those.
System completed. Power on self-test. Computer now booting from operating system.
So that was my actual computer's BIOS rather than the actual computer system. And for me, the computer's actually going into automatically booting. You may find that it actually waits at a boot screen, but it should have a delay that if you don't do anything within a certain time, it will just automatically start booting anyway. So potentially you can just wait at it, but if you do feel it's stuck at a boot screen and it's not actually continuing, you just press enter at that one. So we'll just wait for it to boot. We'll get a message from it saying that it's enabled software speech output. And then, after that, it will then actually start speaking with eSpeak.
Finished activating software speak up. Just run SWSPEAK when booting finished.
Now, it is saying that we should run SPEAK once booting is finished. But because we edited that rc.local file, we won't actually need to. See, it's put us at a login screen, and that's why I suggested that you should actually enable the speech output to start automatically by editing that rc.local file. because you'd have to log in without any speech if you hadn't. So, I'll log in. Okay, now we're at an actual prompt, and we're free to do what we like. One thing I'll just quickly explain to do before I finish this actual audio walkthrough is GRML uses ZSH by default. You may want to change this to being Bash, which is a more commonly used system. I have to be honest, I do prefer Bash myself, so I'll do that. So we'll use the chsh command. And we press enter. It's asking for a password. So I enter the password and I press enter. So it's asking for the actual shell we want to use. So I enter /bin/bash. And I press enter. Now to enable that I have to log out and log back in. So I type in exit. And we're back at the login screen. So I type in my username. My password. And I press enter. And sure enough, I'm at a bash login bash screen now instead of ZSH. Now GRML do actually say that they think ZSH is much better. I don't know, I'm just very used to Bash, that's why I use it. So, hopefully this has been useful. I will be producing a audio walkthrough for installing GNOME. So, for now, that's all from me. Bye.